Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Fearfully and Wonderfully Me. I am so excited about today's podcast episode because I have a very special guest, my friend Sarah Claudia Tillman. Sarah Claudia is a writer and a public speaker who is passionate about encouraging women to walk by faith and not by sight. After losing her sight and partial hearing in 2015, she embarked on a journey that both tested and strengthened her faith in the Lord. And through her challenges, she's found an immense amount of joy sharing how God continually turns trials into even greater triumphs through her blog or podcast, her radio show, and her public speaking. Sarah Claudia's ultimate goal is that through her testimony, women will be encouraged to face the trials of this world through their trust in the Lord. Sarah Claudia, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to share my story with everybody listening.
Well, tell me and tell everyone who is listening, because one of the things that I've heard you say ever since the first day I met you is that, you want to encourage women to walk by faith and not by sight. So tell us what that means and where that came from and share a little bit about you.
Yeah, so it's really become my motto over the last 5.5 years, and it comes from a verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And to me, it means when you have no idea where to go, when you feel lost, and even if the world just becomes too much around you, you keep going through your faith in the Lord. MLK, it's my favorite quote. He said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase." Mm. And to me, that encompasses walk by faith, not by sight. It really just says it in a different way. It means you keep going with God on your side, even if you don't know where the journey you're on or the season of life you're in is going to take you and where you're going to end up.
Mm, that's powerful. So, and you know, it's obviously very personal for you, because in 2015, life just changed drastically for you in such a dramatic way. So tell us about that and how it's inspired you to start this journey.
Yeah. So in 2015, I was 20 years old. I had just finished up my junior year at Berry College, which is a small liberal arts private college in Rome, Georgia. And I was on the equestrian team. I was surrounded by a lot of friends. I had a boyfriend on the baseball team. You know, those were the kind of things that were important to me in mm-hmm. 2015. And I just finished up my finals, my junior year. And my plan was to stay on campus that summer. And I was going to work at the horse barn on campus and take some summer classes and get ready to start my senior year of college. I was so excited. But I had one little thing to take care of first before I could do all that. So in May 4th to be exact, I got in my car and I drove the 50 miles from my college campus back home. And on May 5th, I went into the hospital to have my tonsils taken out. And I had struggled with chronic tonsillitis for most of my life. Just my tonsils would get infected and inflamed, and it was pretty miserable, but I think looking back, I could have lived with that.
Right. But
I went to the hospital on May 5th that morning to have my tonsils taken out, and I was discharged that afternoon and sent home back to my parents' house to kind of recover and recuperate. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she has always been just I lovingly joke and say she's the perfect combination of nosy and, you know, not too nosy. She's kind of like in the middle, but she's always had a hand on me and my brother and sister, everything we did growing up. But at the same time, you know, she gave us our independence and let us make our own mistakes. But that night after my surgery, when I was home, I so thankful that her more, a little bit nosy, more controlling side came out, because she recognized that, you know, things weren't quite right with me. And even though I was 20 years old and very independent, she made the decision to sleep with me that night just to keep an eye on me. And that very small decision ended up being the reason I'm here today, because if she had not made that decision, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have made it through the night, because she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to give me some water and make sure everything was going okay and I wasn't in too much pain. But when she tried to wake me up, she discovered me non-responsive and barely breathing.
Oh, wow.
So my dad was downstairs sleeping. So she yelled for him. He rushed up. I'm sure he was in a daze of sleep. And I'm sure it wasn't in the movies, you know, like in the movies when everybody just jumps into action. It was shocking. And I can't imagine what my parents were going through, but they called an ambulance, got me back to the hospital, where I was immediately intubated and placed on a ventilator. And at that point, all everybody could do is wait and pray. They didn't know if I was going to wake up at all. If I did wake up, they didn't know if I would be able to walk or talk or, you know, be my independent self ever again. But the next day, the breathing tube was taken out and I started to breathe on my own, which was a step in the right direction. And everybody started to celebrate because they thought, okay, she's breathing on her own. This is going to turn around. Everything's going to be fine. But the celebration ended pretty soon as I began to talk and regain consciousness and string some coherent words together. And one of the first things I said was to my dad, who happens to be an eye doctor, and I told him that I couldn't see anything and everything was completely black. So I was immediately rushed to a different hospital where more tests and scans and blood work was done. And at that point, I don't remember this, but I've heard stories that, you know, everybody was very concerned about me and worried, and I have a big extended family, and somebody had called to talk to me on the phone. And my mom handed me the phone. I held it up to my ear and I got so frustrated. I was like, there is nobody on the phone. Nobody's there on the other end. I don't know why you're joking with me this way. And she was like, yeah, it's your aunt. I think it was one of my aunts. She's like, yeah, it's your aunt wanting to talk to you. So we went back and forth, and eventually I moved the phone to my other ear. And what do you know? I could hear the person loud and clear. So that's how we found out that in addition to losing my sight in both my eyes, I had lost hearing completely in my left ear.
Wow.
So it was a shock, to say the least. I mean, life went from being completely normal to very unfamiliar in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and I think most of us really can't understand how drastically life changed for you in those few short moments, because you went from, you know, just being a college student and looking forward to senior year and what life had ahead of you, and to just completely changing. Because it's not just, you know, the things that we take for granted and being able to see and have our hearing, but a lot of it, I'm sure, was losing your independence.
Yes, that was the biggest thing that I struggled with. Even when I was in the hospital, and I don't remember any of this, but even when I was in that daze of medication and shock and trauma, I was still trying to get out of the bed by myself and take myself to the bathroom and you know, walk down the hallway and things like that. Like, that independence had been so ingrained in me. It was just who I was. And when I was facing, you know, the weeks after my sight loss, that was what caused me the biggest frustration, just not being able to do things for myself and not being able to take care of myself, not being able to go back to school. And it's still something I struggle with, but ultimately I have become a lot more independent, but it's taken, you know, being okay depending on others, and ultimately learning to depend on the Lord has been what's really gotten me through.
I love that, about you. It's one of the things that you and I had a conversation a few months back, and you said something pretty profound. It just struck me. And, you know, all of us go through times of adversity and trials in life. I mean, life is tough, right? We all go through pain at some point. But I remember when you and I were talking, and we were talking about overcoming adversity and being resilient and you know, thriving in spite of challenges or maybe because of challenges. And my podcast listeners are familiar with my story. And, you know, it's something that I'm transparent and I'm talking about and saying it influences me, mm-hmm. but it doesn't define me, right? But it's not, you know, it's something that I do deal with every single day. I do, you know, at some point it's going to come back up. I'm going to have to choose to be positive about it. But when you and I were talking, you said something that was pretty profound. It just brought home to me, I think, that all of us can learn to be grateful for what we have. And you said something about, you know, every morning you have a choice to be positive, because every day, as soon as you wake up, you're still without your sight. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that hit me to remember that we all should focus on what we can be grateful for, because not everyone's story is the same, but not everyone has to deal to wake up. And the first thought that they have is, right now I'm faced with a choice to be positive and proactive.
Right.
And just such a hard reminder of what you went through. It's there every day in your daily life.
Right. It is a hard choice every day. And I don't always choose wisely. And when people hear my story and, you know, a story like yours, Rhea, a lot of times it's just kind of face value and they think, okay, my problems are nothing if they can get through that. But, and that's great to inspire people that way. But really when people hear my story and see, you know, how I'm living out my faith and positivity, I want people to see that everybody's problems are big to them. It doesn't matter if it's just, you know, oh, they broke a glass in the sink or whatever little frustration it is. I just want to show people that you can choose to get through that with your faith and with positivity and with just making that choice, choosing to say, okay, well, you know, this isn't the best thing that could have happened, but I can get through it with God.
Mm. Absolutely. You know, you're right. I love what you said there about when you're going through something, it's tough, right? There's not a hierarchy on pain in life. Mm-hmm. If you're going through it, it's tough and it's a challenge to deal with. And we all struggle at times with that. You know, one of the things I love about you is not just your positivity, but your ability to not take yourself too seriously. And learning to laugh at yourself. Talk about that a little bit and how that's changed for you over the last few years.
Yes. So before I lost my sight, I was kind of the clown of my group of friends. I was always, you know, laughing about something, cracking jokes, making other people laugh, and just doing crazy, silly things. And after I went blind, I got a lot more serious. And I still am, you know, I have that still silly side of me, but I did grow up pretty quickly and get a little more serious about life. And what I realized is that I had lost that laughter, especially laughing at myself. With my blindness, I never wanted to admit my weakness. I never wanted other people to feel sorry for me or think, oh my goodness, she just, you know, made that mistake because of her blindness. I never wanted that to happen, but it took time to realize that, you know, some things that happened to me because of my blindness are pretty funny. And just learning to take myself less seriously and laugh and think, okay, yes, I'm blind. And yes, this happened. It doesn't mean I'm weak. It doesn't mean I'm vulnerable or whatever. It's just a funny situation. And one of my favorite stories is when I was taking my dog Sully outside in my backyard to play. He's kind of a very strange dog, I should say, not kind of, he's very strange. He's got all these weird little tendencies, and He gets in these very, I like to call them reflective moods, where he just likes to stand in the yard and just stare mm-hmm. and look around. Mm-hmm. And he was having one of those moods, and I was really trying to get him to play, to get his energy out, and he was just not having it. But I was out there, you know, jumping around. I had toys in my hand, and I use my white cane when I go in the backyard, and I use it to, you know, not only find obstacles, but also to find him when he's mm-hmm. just standing around and I can't hear him.
Sure.
And I don't like whack him with it or anything. I just kind of tap around. So I was doing that, trying to find him so I could get his attention to play with him. And so I felt my cane tap something. So I start jumping around and I'm yelling. I'm like, okay, Sully, let's go. Let's play. Like throwing the toy. And I kind of paused to stop and listen to see if he was moving around. And I heard something, but it was from my far right. And I knew what I had tapped, what I thought was him, was in front of me. So I was like, okay, that's weird. He's on my right. And so I felt forward, and it was the tree in my yard.
Oh, no. So
I had been standing there for several minutes playing with my tree instead of my dog. And it's just things like that. Like, thankfully, there wasn't anybody there. That would have been kind of embarrassing. But it's just things like that. You know, you have to laugh at yourself and think, okay, that's embarrassing. And yes, it's because of my blindness. And I hate that things like that happen because of my blindness. But at the same time, it's pretty darn funny. So just learning to take myself less seriously and know that sometimes it's okay to laugh at your vulnerabilities.
You know, I think your point there is learning to laugh at your vulnerabilities and just owning them. It really lessens them in a way mm-hmm. to me, right? It's kind of like when we own it, it doesn't own us.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of us struggle with that. I know a lot of us struggle with that. I know I struggle with it. Mm-hmm. And there are times when we don't want to, you know, admit that we've done something or said something that I'm like, oh my goodness, that's embarrassing. But when we just own up to it and just say, yep, here it is, and learn to laugh at it. And, because you can't change it, you know, you can't do it over or some, you know, all you can do is move forward.
Exactly. It's like you always say, you know, we can't change our circumstances, but we can change how we respond to it. Mm. And I think making that choice, like you said, it makes our circumstances not own us, and it relinquishes that control they have over us, and it gives us the control to choose our outlook and how we want to respond to our situations.
Absolutely. It's powerful. And again, coming from you, you deal with this just at a, you know, a much more intimate level, I guess, what I would say than some people, because, you know, learning to, you know, live independently. And, you know, I've seen some of your podcasts and blogs, and I mean, you cook for yourself. And so you've learned to do all of these things, independently and gain that. But I can't imagine that it's been frustrating at times to navigate that. I'm always inspired by your positivity, because I know that it's a challenge every single day.
Yes, it is. And like you said, it's not like it's not like that something that happened in my past that I can just put kind of in the back of my mind. It's every day, it's every situation I face, constantly having to say, okay, how am I going to do this without my sight? Mm-hmm. So it is very frustrating at times. And like you said, learning how to live independently, learning how to use my cane and navigate and cook and clean and do laundry has been a journey. And my mom, if she was here, she would have some words to say, because she was the one who helped me learn all that. And it wasn't always a fun time between us, but I'm thankful for her patience with me. And that's a big part of my story and my journey, is the support that I've had and the patience other people have showed me and the grace that they've showed me.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm sure it changed the relationship, but I imagine that the two of you are closer on a different level now than you might have been. Okay. Talk about what I was, I've been doing a series of podcasts on my book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, and I've just finished up recording the elements and talking about self-care. So how do you renew yourself? How do you recharge after dealing with some of those frustrations?
Yeah, so one thing that I learned early on with blindness is I went from being, you know, 20 years old, pretty active. You know, I never really had a down day, but after I lost my sight, I felt like I was about 100 years old a lot of the time. And a lot of it was just the shock and the trauma and what my body had gone through. But as I recovered from that, I noticed, you know, I'm becoming tired at 7 o'clock in the evening, wanting to go to sleep. And I just didn't feel as young, I guess, for lack of better words, as I did before. And it took me time to realize, like, my blindness, it's mentally exhausting. I'm always having to mentally map out what's around me, having to listen harder than I did before just to know what's going on around me. So it's very mentally draining. And when you throw in learning how to do things without my sight, learning how to use my cane and cooking and cleaning, it was just very taxing. And I was very hard on myself. I still am sometimes. And just allowing myself that time to rest and knowing that, you know, life's different now. I can't function, you know, late into the night, because it does take me so much more effort to just get the littlest of things done. So to me, just giving myself that grace, saying, okay, it's okay for you to just take a couple of hours, close your eyes and rest and just turn your brain off and do absolutely nothing. That has been, I think, the biggest self-care aspect for me. And when I'm doing those things, I pray, and that's where God comes in, because, you know, self-care for me, it's important for me to make that decision, but then I have to put it into God's hands and pray for that restoration. And that's been, I think, the biggest help for me is just giving myself that time for myself and to be with the Lord so that he can give me that strength.
A renewal. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I've recently watched some of your devotional videos on your website, just kind of in, cause I knew we were going to be talking this morning. And I really was touched by the one where you talked about identity and what you are known by, because one of the things I like to say, especially, you know, with the concept of fearfully and wonderfully me, you know, God created us all unique and special and designed for a purpose. But I know a lot of us are challenged with finding our identity or creating our identity around a job or a role, or maybe as a mom, you know, as a college student, for example. So tell us a little bit about your perspective on that, because the video was good where you talked about finding your identity in Christ.
Yeah, that was a whole journey for me, because as I mentioned before, in 2015, before I lost my sight, I based my identity and my worth on my accomplishments, whether it was on the equestrian team, winning blue ribbons at horse shows, or social accomplishments. You know, that was really big to me. How many friends I had, who liked me, who I was dating. You know, those were the kind of things that were important to me, and that when people ask me, who are you? I would say, oh, I'm a Berry College equestrian. I'm so-and-so's girlfriend, you know, whatever it was. And after I lost my sight, all of those things disappeared. I wasn't able to ride on my equestrian team anymore. A lot of those relationships that I, you know, put my all into, they disappeared in the wake of my blindness. A lot of people just didn't know how to handle the changes that I was facing. And honestly, I didn't know how to handle them either. I didn't know who I was, and I didn't know how to relate to people anymore. So I was in this situation where not only could I not see, and the world felt unfamiliar, but I felt like I didn't know myself, and my own sense of being was unfamiliar. So it took a lot of, well, it was hard. It was hurtful losing all those friends and those relationships. And I was very bitter that I couldn't be on the team anymore. And I felt like life was just moving on without me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really turned to prayer. And I know it sounds like such a Sunday school answer when you say, oh, you just have to pray about it. But it's so true. I don't even know, a weight lifted off your shoulder when you can just say, okay, God, this is what I'm struggling with and I can't do it on my own. And really through turning to prayer and diving into God's word when I didn't really have anywhere else to turn, I started to see, okay, God is so much bigger than what's on this earth and what we focus on here. And when I started to ask him, okay, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do with this situation? I started to get a new purpose for my life from him. Mm-hmm. And basing my identity and what I was doing in my life with what he wanted me to do. And I think that's the biggest thing. We don't base our identity on our desires and our wants and what we think we need, but basing it on what God wants for us.
I love that. When did you start to really consider pursuing your calling as a speaker and author? Tell me about that and when you kind of came to that discovery.
Yeah, so it really started, I want to say maybe 8 or so months after I lost my sight, I got asked to speak for the first time, and it was just to a Sunday school class, and they just wanted to hear, you know, how I was doing everything I was doing. And I was like, I'm not doing anything. At that point, I didn't think I had accomplished anything. Mm-hmm. I had just gone back to school, and I didn't really have the independence that I wanted yet and all of this, but I thought, okay, well, I guess I'll just go and tell them what I've done so far. And to my amazement, it came so easily. I had never been comfortable speaking in front of a group before, but it just came so easily as I told them not what I had done, but what God had done. And that was the biggest distinction for me, thinking, well, I'm not worthy of this. I haven't accomplished enough. Not focusing on that, but focusing on what God had already done in my life. And that's when I really started to see, okay, maybe this is what God wants me to do. And from there, it was a journey of speaking at all these different venues and all these different Sunday school classes and business meetings. I was all over the place. And I think, Rhea, you were the first one who told me that I really needed to narrow down what I was doing, narrow that niche and really focus on one thing. But I was very hard-headed. It took me a long time to really find what God was wanting me to speak about. And it sounds weird because obviously, you know, I have my story and my blindness, and that's what I should be speaking about. But especially when I started my blog, I was writing about travel and accessibility and all of this stuff. And the whole time I felt God tugging at me and tugging at my heart to speak more about my faith. And even when I would speak in churches, you know, it was surface level stuff that I was speaking about. It wasn't deep into my faith or scripture or really who God was. And a few months ago, when the pandemic started and all of that, I really had time to sit and reflect. And what had been holding me back was that I didn't think I was worthy. Again, it's that I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I had the knowledge or the skills to really dive into scripture. I would say, well, I'm not a preacher. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends told me, well, you know, God doesn't call those who are equipped. He equips those who he calls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So with that, I started to really listen to God. And that's when I started doing all of the really scripture-based writing and devotion videos. And I started writing little devotions. And my mom had the wonderful idea. She said, well, you know, you should really write about light. There's so many times light is mentioned in the Bible, because to me, the Bible was so overwhelming and I didn't know where to start. So I started just picking out scriptures that used the word light. And I would really relate those back to my life and before and after I lost my sight, just different stories from my life. And I thought, this is really fun. And I'm getting, you know, I'm growing these devotions in this document. Like I need to do something with those. And that's where my first book grew out of, as I, you know, started listening, really listening to God's call and just really having fun writing these devotions. I thought, well, these are pretty good and people might want to read these. Mm-hmm. So I started kind of narrowing down my idea, and it turned into a 30-day devotional called Blind Faith Devotional. Mm-hmm. It's 30 days of finding light, building faith, and choosing joy. So there's 30 different scriptures that I found. About 10 of them center around light, about 10 center around faith, and about 10 center around joy. And it just takes readers on this journey, like I said, before and after I lost my sight, things that I've experienced and encountered, and how I've been able to learn to turn to scripture and turn to God to kind of get through those trials and all of those different hard times in my life. But also there's a lot of joy in there and some funny stories too.
I can't wait to read it. I'm looking forward to it. I think the very first day that I met you, you wanted to write a book, and mm-hmm. and I knew then, I was like, you know what, I talk to a lot of people who want to write a book or be a speaker, but not everybody is willing to put the work into it. Mm-hmm. And I knew the very first day we met, I'm like, you are one of those people who are like, I'm determined, I'm going to do it. I just might not even know how yet, but I'll figure it out.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that about you, because, you know, resilience is one of those traits that we need in life, because there will be challenges and there will be struggles. And that ability to trust God and to walk out and step out in faith when we don't know the path forward all the time is just, mm-hmm. it's incredible, because there are going to be times when we don't have all the answers and we just have to figure things out. And I love that determination about you, and that, you know, when you decide to do something, like, you're just going to do it. And so,
exactly.
So I'm excited, but I don't even know when we first met. It's been a while, but I've been so looking forward to this book. So I cannot wait. And you, obviously have sound like you finished it. When can we expect it to be available?
Yes, I finished it. It's being edited right now, and I'm hoping that's going to be done by the end of September this month.
Okay.
So, and I'm hoping to have all the publishing and everything done, I'm going to say, in a perfect world, mid-October, but definitely before Christmas. So you can put it on your Christmas list for all your family and friends.
Sounds like a wonderful gift for some Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I'm definitely very excited about it. It's been definitely a labor of love, and it gave me that confidence to start my second book, which is going to be more of my story, just straight through. So I'm excited mm-hmm. for that too.
And you know, I know there are a lot of people who will be so inspired by that and so encouraged by that, because there again, you know, anyone can tell a story of adversity, but what inspires us is someone who goes through something like that and comes out stronger and better on the other side. And that's what inspires us. It's not the mm-hmm. the struggle itself, but it's who you become because of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just so evident in your story, is just, you know, yeah, it's there and it influences you and impacts you, but you're not letting it just define you. You're choosing how it's going to affect you. And that's something that I admire, and I think we can all learn from.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And like you said, it's a hard choice to make every day, but you know, that's what walking by faith means. It means that even though you don't know how the day or the year, the month, whatever you're facing is going to turn out, you keep going. And I always said, you know, I'm hard-headed. I Like you said, I decide I want to do something. And even if I don't know how to do it, I just figure it out along the way. I mean, I went back to school 8 months after losing my sight. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew that was something I wanted to accomplish. And it's God. It's, you know, I have a hard time, like I was saying before, using the I word and just focusing everything on myself, but it's God. And you can't have that resilience. You can't get through what you're facing without him and without choosing to give that situation over to him.
Yeah. I like to use the analogy of you're not able to walk on water, so to speak, mm-hmm. until you step out of the boat, right? We can't walk by faith until we're willing to try, you know, to just trust and not know mm-hmm. the way forward sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, I just every time we talk, I just love to hear your perspective on these things, because I think, you know, I like to say God doesn't cause the pain in our lives, but he can use it. And, mm-hmm. and you're a great example of that. And just saying, I'm going to turn this over and, you know, learning to find redefine yourself, in light of what you've been through, you know, it is a journey and something we work through every single day. But yeah, I mean, you've taken it on and that's what inspires people. Not just going back to school and so quickly, but I mean, you had to learn a whole new language, right? I mean, you had to learn in Braille.
Yeah. Yes. I had to learn Braille. That took about a year and a half. And honestly, that was the easiest part of going back to school. The hardest part was learning how to get around campus with my white cane. That was very frustrating, very disorienting. I had to learn how to cross streets, and you pretty much have to memorize everything, and listening to know what's around you. That was so hard. And then technology, I had to learn how to use my computer and my phone and just all these things that would help me be an efficient college student. And it was a lot. It was a journey for sure.
How much of that do you think has helped prepare you for what you do now in writing and blogs and books and speaking and podcasts and all the stuff you're doing now?
Everything. I would not be able to do anything that I do now if I hadn't learned, especially the computer. I mean, I'm sitting here right now on this Zoom call, and I was able to pull it up by myself and get it going by myself. So that's definitely been such a big skill, is my computer and all my writing. Obviously I do in a Word document or in a Google Doc. So I definitely use technology more than anything else.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to have that availability that allows us to do so many things. Yeah, that's exciting. Well, Sarah Claudia, thank you for your time and for sharing your story with us this morning and the inspiration. How can people follow you on your blog and tell us where they can connect with you and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they can head over to sarahclaudia.com, and that's sarahclaudia.com. And that's where my blog and all my devotion videos and my podcast also live there. My podcast is called Finding Light, but you can also find that in any podcast streaming platform. And then I'm on Facebook at Sarah Claudia Tillman and on Instagram at Sarah Claudia.
Awesome. Yeah. I love your podcast. Comes out pretty regularly, and I've enjoyed several of the episodes. So particularly you had one on blind blonde moments that,
yes.
You know, you shared some great stories there and some humor. And I know people will be inspired by that. So if you are a podcast person, which you probably are because you're listening to this podcast, but you may want to check out some of Sarah Claudia's episodes. And looking forward to seeing what God has in store for you in the future.
Yeah, so thank you so much. I've enjoyed sharing today, and I hope everybody got a little bit of inspiration and faith from my story.
Absolutely. Well, do you have a favorite Bible verse that, obviously the one from Corinthians, but is there a second favorite Bible verse that you want to share as we wrap up?
Yeah, I love James 1:2, and it's, when you face trials of any kind, consider an opportunity for true joy. And that to me, it always confused me at first, how a trial could be an opportunity for joy. But when you give it over to God and when you let him use that trial for his purpose, for his glory, or to draw him closer to you, you can get that true joy, and good things can come out of very dark situations.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Sarah Claudia. I appreciate your time, and I know everyone is going to be very inspired by hearing it. So I just want to thank you again for that, and keep sharing light.
Thank you.
Take care.